Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim. Hi, everyone. Thanks again for joining us for our podcast this week. My name is Mark Klingsheim with SEMA Partners. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. And I encourage you, if you haven't already done so, subscribe to this podcast. Please leave a review if you're enjoying our conversations. This week, we're going to be talking with Lance Hazard. Lance has been a senior executive leader with Medtronic, which was a VP of HR, and has started an executive coaching practice from his experience in going through coaching himself. He has written a book entitled Accelerating Leadership, and he's going to share some lessons learned from his career as well as thoughts from that book. Looking forward to our conversation today with Lance. Well, first off, can you give us just a little bit of your story, a little bit of your background?
Sure, Mark, and thanks for having me on your podcast. So I'm an HR guy turned executive coach, and so my career was predominantly in human resources for large organizations, Fortune 100 companies like RCA, General Electric, and then ultimately Medtronic for the last 19 years. In 2003, I was given the opportunity to work with an executive coach, and it was really the best development of my career. And so that helped propel me. A year later, I was promoted to a vice president, and in the next 12 years, I was vice president at Medtronic, working in large business groups such as cardiac surgery or cardiovascular, or large functional areas such as operations for the cardiac and vascular group, leading that enterprise, as well as doing some major initiatives on the corporate groups with respect to operations, bringing Covidien and Medtronic together. So some merger and acquisition work and helping the corporate leader of operations in that enterprise. So basically a very full HR career. But in 2013, so 10 years after I was offered the opportunity to be coach, I also started being trained as a coach. So Medtronic decided to bring coaching inside the company. So they reached out to the HR community to have us nominate people, leaders who could potentially be coaches for others. The goal was to coach directors and senior directors that were on our talent pipeline, we felt that could be vice presidents, and help coach them. You still had to do your day job, but you had to coach at least four people per year. So I volunteered for that because I wanted to help other people like I had been helped 10 years earlier. So in 2013, I went through a year-long training process through Coactive Training Institute and Medtronic to become a coach, started coaching others, and did that through 2016. And I realized that I could coach at the next stage of my career. So I retired effective January of 2017 to open my own coaching shop, Opna Coaching, and I've been doing that ever since. So I coach executives, organizations, and leadership teams to get better results and help accelerate leadership and get better results faster through coaching.
Great. So, Lance, I think we met probably right and around 2003, when you were just starting that process, and it's fun to see your career and kind of some of the things that you did at Medtronic, and then now in your coaching. But if you were able to go back and talk to a 22-year-old Lance and coach him, give him some advice, what advice would you give him?
I think that's a great question, Mark. I would encourage this person to go beyond their job description, go beyond what's been asked of them, so that you really understand what it is you're being asked and then deliver more than what you're being asked. And the people that do that and figure that out, how to deliver more, how to really add value, they will tend to get greater opportunities, more opportunities for advancement, more opportunities to represent the company, become a subject matter expert, or to promote. So I would ask them to really think about delivering more. And I would also want that person to really work on their what's called the soft skills, how to really listen, how to give other people credit and share credit, how to help other people achieve their goals. So by doing that and really working on both delivering more as well as developing others and working on your soft skills, that will really set this 22-year-old up for success in the future.
So as you think back to that first experience where you were being coached, what advice would you give somebody who is in that situation where they're looking to bring somebody in to help them as far as in their career and their development? I heard from somebody the other day, they introduced me to somebody and they said that they use the phrase, this person's really coachable. You know, they're doing well in their career, but they're coachable. What is being coachable? What does it take to be well coached as far as on the person that's being coached?
Well, I think the ability to listen and take feedback in, feedback seems to be a word that a lot of people don't want to get, right? When you're offered, hey, can I give you some feedback, Mark? You might not expect good things to come your way. But when people are able to take feedback, to learn from it, and then redirect and do things better. Sometimes the feedback's very positive. You know, Mark, I really love the way you just did that. Wow. You know, if you do more of that going forward, the world's your oyster. So it can be very positive and part of your go forward strategy. But also, it's very helpful at times for a person to find out that they didn't hit the mark with something. And if they get feedback on that, that allows them to redirect and do something differently in the future that will allow them to hit the mark. So being coachable is that ability to listen, to take feedback in, and to redirect things so that you can have a better outcome in the future.
So as you're thinking back, just some of the teams that you've managed. And I think one of the things that people sometimes struggle with as they're in their career is they go from being an individual contributor to leading a team, maybe for the first time. And I think sometimes individual contributors that are very good at doing, a certain function forget that their job as a leader is to get work done through others and to help them as far as in their process. What advice would you give to new leaders that are kind of in that first leadership role? What are some blind spots that people have?
You really don't have to be the smartest person in the room anymore. As a matter of fact, what you need to do, you're working, leading a team, you actually have to hire people in those positions that are that have more expertise in those areas than you do. And then you have to listen to them and be able to understand why they're giving you their recommendation and be able to take some of that in and work with them so that it's a mutual decision. It's a team decision as much as you can, or it's a decision based on team input, but here's the direction we're going, so that you develop the buy-in based on the expertise and advice of the team. And that's going to develop mutual trust, respect, and accountability. So hire people based on, their skills, their integrity, their character, so that you can work together as a team and come out with the best outcome.
Now, you wrote a book titled Accelerating Leadership, How to Integrate Executive Coaching in Your Organization. Talk a little bit about just some of the, give us a little bit of an overview of that book and just some of the reasons that you wrote it, as well as a few of the thoughts that you share.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. So my co-author, Eric Hicks, is he's a PhD, and he worked as a coach within Cigna. And I worked as a coach within Medtronic. I had, of course, been coached 10 years earlier, as you know, or earlier in my career. So we had, and we had both gone on and retired and became external coaches. So we had a strong understanding of how organizations are using coaching to accelerate leadership and leadership development within their companies. And this book is really meant to be a guidebook because one of the fastest growing areas of coaching is organizational coaching. And, you know, the CEO or the president of the business might come to the HR partner and say, you know, tell me more about coaching. Should we be doing this? How do we do it? How do we go about this? So this is a nice little handbook for people to use if they really want to look at coaching. You know, how do you do this internal? Do you look only, you know, at do you go only with external coaches? Should you build some competence internally with coaches? Should you use a mixture, a hybrid approach? If you use coaching, do you use those coaching partners use assessments? If so, which assessment should you use? So it's really a guidebook to say how to go about thinking about this. And it's been, you know, fairly successful with some companies that are looking at coaching and doing this. So it's been fun. It's helped propel me to get some more business. I'm working not only within my own enterprise, Optna Coaching now, but also I'm partnered with several leading coaching and leadership development firms on coaching organizations or teams. And this book is being used in that process.
So with the idea of coaching and internal coaching, as well as using external coaches, you know, one of the challenges I think a lot of organizations face is when they're looking at succession planning. And a lot of organizations don't do that well. I know I was just talking with an HR leader in a $2 billion plus dollar organization. And they were saying they were just coming in the organization, taking a look at kind of how they're set up and what's working, what's not. And they said they really don't have a succession plan as far as in the organization, a good size organization, but yet, you know, that's not a part of it. How can coaching play into that as far as, you know, for people that are listening that are maybe looking at what's our future? Where are our leaders, our pipeline of talent?
Yeah. Again, I think that's a great question. And also, that's one of the reasons why I wrote the book. We don't have a section on succession planning, but we do, you know, there's a lot about coaching as an HR leader within Medtronic. Succession planning was a big deal. It was there. Was it GE? Was it RCA? So really helping the organization think through, okay, who are the leaders that can promote from within? And if you really want to have that succession plan internal, what development do they need to grow? Because it can't just be a vertical development. You know, this person who's working as a business unit leader over here, do they need international experience if it's an international company? What other experiences would help them grow within the organization and to be seen, to see things more broadly, to give them greater perspective? So it's really working with organizational leadership teams and the HR leadership teams on what it is that they want out of their future leaders. How is the industry being transformed through digital or whatever is affecting the industry? And COVID's affecting everybody now, right? But so helping them think through the process and look at, you know, how to develop your people to get those positions in the future. And if you can't, then where to best look externally at times. And that's where people like you get heavily involved, Mark.
Well, thinking about, you mentioned this time that we live, it's a weird time. A lot of virtual meetings, a lot of Zoom calls like what we're doing today, and sometimes it's hard to connect with people during this time. And I've heard some leaders say that they're really good about reading people when they're in the same room, but they've faced some really challenges in the last number of months just connecting with their team and, again, coaching them and trying to help them out, but getting a read. Any thoughts around managing during this time, and any thoughts that you've heard from other leaders or things that you've experienced yourself?
Yeah, I think empathy right now is needed more than ever before. As a coach, you're really taught about listening for not only what's being said, but what's not being said, watching body language, looking at, when somebody says yes, but they're shaking their body no. So being able to read the individual or read the room, and then ask more questions. Hey, Mark, I kind of seen your shoulders slump a little with that last question or remark. What's going on there? So be able to draw out more and get what's going on a little more. But you're right. People are absolutely Zoom fatigued, where in the past they might have had a breaking point to go from one meeting to the next or travel to from one site to another. Now it's like Zoom calls 8 or 9 hours a day. And so there's very real Zoom fatigue. So there's some self-care elements that really have to take into, come into place.
I think during this time, it's also sometimes challenging for people just to keep the goal in mind. There's distractions and people are working from home and their dog's barking, or, I'm waiting for my dog to bark, but he hasn't yet. But there's a lot of yeah, right. So a lot of things that people are dealing with. I know in your book, you have one of the chapters is entitled Action and Accountability. Talk a little bit about that as far as kind of how people can, keep focus and, maybe the accountability part or just the action of taking some steps to stay moving forward versus just kind of paddling in place and treading water for the next number of months. Any thoughts around that?
Yeah. Again, a great question. As coaches, we really work on getting our clients to act on whatever it is they want to accomplish. So, they might have a plan to say, okay, I want to get 10 more customers by the end of the month. Okay. Well, that's a goal. Okay. So great. What are you doing to get there? What's your plan for that? How many will you be calling, or how many emails will you send out? How will you follow up on that? So whatever the goal is, working with that client to take on the accountability and the responsibility for and the steps necessary to make that goal happen. One of the things that people really do is they have goals or dreams, but they don't write them down. They don't, they're in their head. They're not putting them to paper. They're not taking the steps necessary. So as a coach, we're accountability partners. So, okay, Mark, you said you wanted to do that. How did you make that happen today? What did you do to take steps so that at the end of the month, you're going to achieve that goal? And when the client comes into that coaching session, the next coaching session, you usually have a review of, Mark, you said you would do this by this date. Tell me about it. What did you learn from that? Did you take action on that? How many, new clients did you get as a result of that, or new customers? So it's this accountability cycle. You put it down, you say you're going to do it, and now you've got to report back on it. So there's this accountability cycle that says, I better do something. Sure. So you really work with the clients to make sure that they're taking the steps necessary to achieve their goals. And what did they learn in the process? And what did they have to adapt to come out with, you know, the response they wanted? Or, you know, what did they have to adapt because the market changed a little and now they have to do it this way? So those are some examples.
So what are some blind spots that are pretty typical in the people that you've worked with in the past when you were an HR leader as well as coaching? Is there particular areas that people tend not to see as far as in the leadership and gaps that they have?
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I really like working with assessments like Hogan assessments or the Matone Leadership Enneagram inventory, assessments that will help bring out those blind spots. Some typical blind spots might be, you know, I think I'm a great communicator. Well, but my people in those assessments, either a 360 or other assessments that we might use, will say, you know, Lance doesn't communicate very well. So it's a shocker, right? So, okay, what do I need to do to communicate the way I really want to communicate, the way that can help people? So communications, working with perfectionists. Mark, if you're a perfectionist, you might be benefited by learning to delegate more. And a typical perfectionist might say, well, I can do it faster and better myself, so therefore I do it. So the perfectionist just gets overwhelmed with the work content because they won't hand it off because they feel they can do it better and faster themselves. Well, they're not developing their staff. They're not delegating to get more done through others. So that would be another very typical one. So learning to delegate more is another area. So just there's some repeating themes that will come through things we coach on that we can help clients with that we see in a number of different people.
So besides your book, which I encourage people to pick up and read, what other books have impacted you or you may recommend to other leaders?
Many different books out there, books that I think about, and one that's very intriguing is The Alchemist, and very interesting book, very enlightening journey of somebody going through a process of growth and what they learn in the way. So it's very, very enlightening. But I like other books like The 7 Habits, you know, of Highly Effective People. Things like that can be very uplifting. You can learn a lot, especially if you take those learnings and try to apply them to your business settings. So depending on whether you want uplifting stories like The Alchemist or some great books like 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, those are all good books to look at and areas to improve.
Now, I have to ask you this question as far as a sports coach. What are some of your favorite sports coaches?
Favorite sports coaches? Well, I'm a Michigan Stater, so D'Antonio, who's now retired, and Tom Izzo, of course, in basketball, just one of the favorites. So some other coaches that, have typically gotten miraculous results, Belichick, out in Boston, in the Boston area, right? The New England Patriots, not having a great year because Brady has moved on, right? I've just enjoyed sports throughout the years. I tend to like college sports more than I like pros, just out of, my background and stuff. So some great coaches out of, Duke, Kansas, some of the great basketball programs that you see, fun to watch.
Yep, absolutely. So outside of work, Lance, what do you do to recharge, refocus?
I do a lot of reading, but also love to hike. My wife and I have probably been to about half of the national parks. Maybe a bucket list item might be to get to all of them. I don't know if we'll ever get to all of them. We have a 2-year-old Aussie doodle, a dog that loves to get out with us and the like. So we do a lot of hiking and exploring, love to travel. I've been to a lot of different countries through both work and now now on our own. Obviously, that hasn't happened for the bulk of this year and probably into next. But and then we have three grown adult sons, so love to do stuff with family.
Yeah. Any parting advice for a leader that you'd give?
Yeah, I would tell leaders to really learn to act on what's important to them. People would get all kinds of advice, right? You should do this, you should do that. I like to remind people that no one likes to be should upon. You know, people tell you what you should do. You've got to kind of look at, you know, what's important to you. You know, where are your values? What is it you want to accomplish? And then start taking those steps necessary to accomplish those things that you want to, you know, those things that are your goals. And be willing to seek help, you know. So there are people, perhaps it's a mentor, perhaps it's a coach, that can help you overcome some of the internal obstacles that people tend to place. You know, I'm too young, I'm too old, I don't have the right education, I don't have enough experience. So help you overcome those mental obstacles we place on ourselves so that we can move forward and own what it is we want to get to in the future and get there.
Great. Well, thanks, Lance, and enjoyed our conversation. And how would somebody learn more about your work and what you're doing?
Well, thank you very much. I do post monthly on my site, opnacoaching.com, O-P-P-N-A, coaching.com. I also send that out to LinkedIn. So join me on LinkedIn. There's not a lot of Lance Hazards out there, so you'll be able to find me. So I send out my post on LinkedIn as well. So check me out on LinkedIn. Love to be able to help anybody out that might need some help from an executive coaching perspective.
Great. Well, I wish you continued success and great to connect today.
Mark, it's been my pleasure to be on your show and wish you all the best.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.